Get started.
Thank you.
All right, so since we're still in the middle of Hanukkah, tonight is the fifth night of Hanukkah. We're going to do a special Hanukkah edition. And the topic that we will be focusing upon is travelers and guests on Hanukkah. What is the status of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Hanukkah for people who are traveling, people who are outside of their homes? This comes up a lot. And the rabbis get a lot of questions about this. And if you ask a bunch of different rabbis about the same exact scenario, and you'll get all kinds of different answers. So does that mean that some are right or some are wrong? We do say, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. I want to give something of a backdrop today to explain maybe the conceptual underpinnings of the different opinions regarding exactly how we deal with these situations. Somebody's taking a trip, and they leave their home early, and they don't have time to light Hanukkah candles, or it's not time yet. They leave in the middle of the afternoon. They're going to arrive at their destination. Maybe they'll be taking a plane or a train. Won't be arriving at a new destination until the following morning. Maybe you have a family that goes for a Hanukkah party to some friends or to extended family, and they're going to spend most of the night there, but they're not going to sleep over. Do we say that they should wait to light Hanukkah candles until they come home late at night? Should they light Hanukkah candles before they leave and leave the Hanukkah candles burning? You may have seen some of the Hatzolah signs around town warning people about leaving Hanukkiyot and Hanukkah candles burning when nobody is home. They said it's not a good idea.
Oh, wait, wait,
even if somebody...
We're treading on another area there. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, okay, fine. Right, so they think it's not a good idea because they say that, I mean, it depends on how sadistic you are, but they say that you could, like, burn down the house and burn down the entire neighborhood. So if you don't want to burn down the house and the entire neighborhood, so then it's probably a bad idea. If you want to accomplish that, so then it might be a good idea. It really depends on your vantage point. But they're saying from a societal perspective, it's not a good idea.
What about the case if you're somewhere where you're not allowed to have a fire? Hotel or something.
Or let's say you're in a hotel, you're on a hospital, and they say you're not allowed to have fire, you're on an airplane. Let's say that the place you're going to spend the entire night is an airplane, there's nobody home to light Hanukkah candles for you, so can you be yotzi the mitzvah lighting on an airplane? Do you have to, you know, do that and risk of being sent away to Guantanamo Bay and, you know, therefore you have to be, you know, treated as a terrorist? So there were all kinds of different concerns. Right. And what if you have somebody lighting for you in your home? So is that good enough if somebody's lighting for you in your home? Do we say that you're yotze the mitzvah? Should you light anyway, even if you happen to be a guest somewhere else or a traveler somewhere else, if you're not going to actually see the Hanukkah candles that are burning in your home, in your windowsill? So maybe you should light anyway. So these are all the different questions that come up, and I want to go over some of the sources and some of the different opinions. So the first source is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Aleph from a base, where the Gemara teaches us, Tanu Rabbanan, where rabbis taught Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Uveso, that the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles is a mitzvah upon Ish, Ner, you should have a candle for Ish, for a person, the man, Uveso, and his home. So it sounds like it's maybe a little bit of both. On the one hand, it's a home-centric mitzvah. It's uveso. It's a mitzvah which is fulfilled by lighting the candle in the house. We speak about where in the house. Then maybe it's on the in the doorway of the house. You have the mezuzah on one side. You have the Neil Chanukah on the other side. Maybe if you want to be able to broadcast the mitzvah for Persume Nisa to outsiders, so that you put it in your windowsill. We do that nowadays. The Rama writes that now that ever since there was a Shas Sakana, it was dangerous to have the Hanukkah candles on the outside. That's what they used to do. It would be, when we spoke about the Hanukkah candles being on Pesach Beiso, being on the entranceway into the house, it was the outside of the house. The door would be open, and the Neil Hanukkah would be on the outside of the house. So they said once it was a Sakana, that it was decreed that they wouldn't let Jews light their candles, and maybe it was a Sakana that they would persecute us for lighting the candles on the outside, or maybe it was a Sakana for the candles, because they would blow out the candles. So the Zoroastrians were against lighting candles. So whatever the nature of the Sakana was, the halacha was changed. B'shas Sakana, the Meniach al Shulchano V'dayo, as the Rama says, that it was considered to be sufficient to light the Hanukkah candle on your table, in your house, And that would be sufficient, meaning that the Pesume Nisa, the broadcasting of the miracle, nowadays is primarily for people who live in the house. So what we try to do is to fulfill both elements of this Pesume Nisa. On the one hand, we'll light the candles in the house. On the other hand, we'll also light it by our windowsill so that we'll be able to broadcast up to the rest of the world. People who are passing by on the outside, they'll be able to see the Hanukkah lights. But it's still within the house. Uveso. It's the home. So the question is that given that the focus is on Uveso, so what if somebody is not at home or somebody does not have a house? Even our special fulfillment of the mitzvah, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, that the way we fulfill it like the Ramah is that every single member of the household lights the candles. So you say, oh, it's not just Ner Ish, right? It's not just one person who lights the candle, not just the Baal HaBayis, the head of the household who lights, but every single member of the household, but it's still every member of the household, right? So it still seems to be very home-centric. So how do you interpret this Ner Ish Uveso? Is the emphasis on the Ish, that the person has to light a candle regardless of whether or not they're home, or is the emphasis on the Uveso, that if a person's not at home, if there is no house, so then there's no mitzvah of lighting the candle? So one of the first authorities to pose this question, to entertain this chakira, is the Sfasem, it's the Ger Rebbe. So the Ger Rebbe, in his commentary to Masechta Shabbos Daf Kof Aleph Amud Beis, asks the question, is the mitzvah of lighting candles on Hanukkah, is it a chovas gavra? Is it an obligation of the person? Or is it a chovas habayis? Or is it an obligation incumbent upon the home? Obviously, a home defined as a home in which people live, but nonetheless, an obligation incumbent upon the home. What other mitzvahs do we have that focus upon the home, that the home is the only place where you can fulfill the mitzvah?
A mezuzah.
A mezuzah, obviously. You can't, you know, you're walking in the park, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of a mezuzah, or building a makkah. You're going to build a parapet around your roof. That requires having a roof. It requires having a home, or you're going to be building a fence. So those are mitzvahs that are all about the bias. So let's take a look at the different Rishonim understood the centrality or role of the bias in this mitzvah. So the Gemara on Daf Kof Gimel Amud Aleph mentions that there are different brachos that we recite on Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. There's the bracha of the Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, and there's also the bracha of She'asa Nisim Lavoseinu, right? So you make the bracha on the miracles that a Kodesh Baruch Hu performed. It happens that the Meiri, I promise new sources, the Meiri is of the opinion that She'asa Nisim is going not necessarily on the candles per se, but on the fact that Hashem performed miracles for us in general. And even if you don't ever get a chance to see any candles over the course of Hanukkah, you would still make the bracha of She'asa Nisim according to the Meiri. On the first night you make the bracha of Shechianu. But most authorities are of the opinion that no, you have to actually see the candles in order to make the bracha of She'asa Nisim. And it's based on the simple reading of the Gemara. Gemara says, Amar Chia Barashi Amarab, Hamadik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarek Lebarech, that if you see, you light the candle of Chanukah, you have to make the bracha of the Hadik Ner Shel Chanukah. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah says there's also another bracha, namely a Roa Ner Shel Chanukah. Let's say you're not going to be lighting the candle of Chanukah, you're only going to be seeing somebody else's candle of Chanukah. You're going to be out in the street, and you're going to see somebody else's candles for Chanukah that are lit in their windowsill or on the entranceway of their doorway. So then you make the bracha of a Renair Shel Chanukah Tzarek Lebarek, you make the bracha of She'asa Nisim. Obviously, not making the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, you make the bracha of the giving a blessing to God for the miracles that he has performed that are manifested and represented in the candles of Chanukah. So says Rashi, who is this person who's only making the bracha of She'asa Nisim, who's not lighting the Chanukah candles, but is only watching the Chanukah candles and makes the bracha She'asa Nisim? So look at the end of the first line. Umatzasi b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda, she'ar b'shem Rabbeinu Yaakov. So he says, I found in the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak, quoting Rabbeinu Yaakov, various teachers of Rashi, to lohuskaka bracha zu el mish lohidlik reveso adayin, that this bracha is for somebody who has not yet lit in their house. And the general understanding of Rashi means somebody who's not going to make it to their house. They're not going to make it to their house, so they have to make the bracha She'asa Nisim when they see somebody else's Hanukkah candles lit, because they're not going to be able to light themselves. Oh, says Rashi, or the Yosheva Spina, somebody who is in a boat. So it sounds like Rashi that if somebody is in a boat, they're not lighting Hanukkah candles. Why are they not lighting Hanukkah candles? Because a boat, presumably, is not a house. The person is in a rickety canoe. It's not, we're not talking about the Queen Elizabeth luxury liner. We're talking about just a rickety little boat. It's not considered to be a house. He's gonna maybe, what do people do if they're out in a canoe in the middle of the ocean? They're going to sleep in the canoe, but it still doesn't count, apparently, according to Rashi. I need something that really is a substantial residential structure in order to trigger the obligation of lighting Hanukkah candles. Otherwise, the person who's in the boat, they're in Lake Michigan, they don't light on the boat, but rather they look at the various houses in Evanston or whatever that, you know, they're able to see as they're traveling along Lake Michigan, and they see Hanukkah candles that are in the windows, and then they can make the bracha. She'asa nisim la'avoseinu. It sounds like, according to Rashi, the emphasis is in the bias. If a person is not in a residential space, so then he does not make the bracha to light the Hanukkah candles. At best, he would only be able to make the bracha she'asa nisim, to make the bracha of seeing the Hanukkah candles. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos and Sukkah Daf Mem Vav and Aleph, the Gemara there is also speaking about the nature of the brachos that we recite on Neiros Chanukah. The context of the Gemara is speaking about certain brachos that are only for mitzvos that are on a drabbanan level. They're not required from the Torah, only rabbinic mitzvos. Chanukah is a rabbinic mitzvah. And the Gemara there says that you make the bracha if you see the Hanukkah candle, you make a bracha. So says Tosos, the second line over here. So why would a person make this special bracha that they're not lighting the candle, they're only making the bracha and singing the candle? Begamishim sheyesh kamen b'nei adam she'en lehem batim. So Tosos says, because there are a lot of people, they don't have houses. They live as nomads, whatever. They live as vagabonds. They live as people who are out on the street. And they are simply not blessed to have their own house. They don't have their own houses. They do not have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah, which requires, it sounds like according to Tosfos, owning or living in a house. Person does not live in a house, they do not have their own residence, so then they cannot fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. Similarly, it's not in the source sheet, but the Rambam, when the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, the Rambam says that what is the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah? Mitzvah Neiros Chanukah, the mitzvah of the candle of Chanukah, shehei kol bayis ubayis, that every single house madlik ner echad, every single house lights a candle. Whether you have a lot of people in the house, you only have one person in the house, the main essential mitzvah, the ikka mitzvah, we have mahadrin, the main mitzvah of lighting a Hanukkah candle is one candle per house. But so the way that the Rambam phrases it is not that the ish, that a person is obligated near Hanukkah, but rather called bias who bias madlik near echad. It sounds like the obligation is on the bias, that this is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon a bias obviously in which people live, but if you don't have a bias, so you do not have the mitzvah. That's what it sounds like as well. Now, if I say that if somebody has no bias, they have no obligation of hadlaka because everything centers around the bias, I can also say this in the other direction as well. Namely, that if somebody has a bias, so let's say that that I'm not in my bias, but somebody else who's a resident of my home is in the bias and they're lighting the candle. The classic case that the Mephoshim explained, discussed, the Gemara discusses, is a husband who's not at home and the wife is on a business trip or something, or he's learning in yeshiva and they have and he's away in some yeshiva retreat. I don't know. And his wife is lighting the candle for the house, for him in the house. So do we say the bias is so central and so integral to this mitzvah that once somebody is lighting in the bias, so then you don't have to worry about making additional brachos if you're not at home? When we say that a person who's not at home, if he sees the Hanukkah candles, so he says, She'asa nisim la'avoseinu. But let's say somebody is lighting at home. So then maybe the person who's not at home is automatically a yotze, they're automatically exempted, not only from the mitzvah of the hadlik ner shel Hanukkah, by whomever is lighting at home, but even from the bracha of She'asa nisim, on the first night, even from the bracha of Shechiyanu, because after all, the home is the main essential place where the mitzvah is performed. So this latter point happens to be a machlokis. It's a machlokis between the Mordechai and the Rosh. According to the Mordechai, if a person is not at home and they're not able to see the Hanukkah candles, even if somebody is lighting the candles for them at home, a husband's not at home, the wife is lighting at home, so the person who's not at home still has to make the bracha of She'osa Nisim La'Bosenu when they see somebody else's Hanukkah candles that are lit, because how can they fulfill that mitzvah of seeing the candle if they haven't seen the candle? It's just, you know, a very simple equation. Either you see the candle or you don't see the candle. That's the opinion of the Mordechai. The Rosh says no, that the notion of lighting at home is so central to the mitzvah. As long as somebody is lighting at home, so all of the members of the household are automatically covered with respect to all aspects of the mitzvah. Not only with respect to the Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, but even with respect to She'osa Nisim La'Avoseinu. If it would be the first night and they weren't home, I got the Shaila earlier this week. Somebody wasn't home the first night. The wife lit the Hanukkah candles. She made all three brachos. The question was, when he came home the second night, does he recite a Shachrianu? So the answer is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Simon Tuf Reish Ayin Bav in Orachayim, that the husband is exempted from all of his brachos, including She'osa Nisim, including the Shachrianu, through his wife's lighting of the candles. It happens that there's a little bit of a stira, there's a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch, because this is how the Shulchan Aruch rules in Simon Tuf Reish Ayin Bav, chapter 676. But in Siman Tuf Reish Ayin Zayin, chapter 677, the Shulchan Aruch says, oh yeah, by the way, if the husband happens not to be home, and the wife is lighting candles for him at home, so it's better that he should light separately for himself. So if he happens to be in a place where there are no Jews and he's not going to be able to see any candles. So Mishnah Berurah points out, he says, you know, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is very smart and knew what he was doing, but there's a contradiction here between what he said one chapter earlier and what he said over here. So some point out that in the second chapter, the Shulchan Aruch prefaces his remarks by saying, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say. Meaning it's not necessarily endorsing this opinion, it's saying, yeah, show me, there are those who say, but in fact this is not the normative opinion that is adopted by the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah says that you should follow what he said the first time around, rather than what he said the second time around, and as long as the wife is lighting at home, so the husband is exempted through the wife lighting at home, not only from Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah, but even She'osa Nisim La'Avoseinu, and Shechianu as well. The husband is covered with respect to all of the brachos. There is, I have in the materials, not going through every single word and sentence, but there is one suggestion that's made to reconcile these two different halachos that are brought by the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the Sha'aretz Mishnah Berurah, and the Sha'aretz Zion quotes the Marmar Mordechai, who gives some type of an explanation to explain away this apparent contradiction. He says that in the second chapter, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where there are no Jews around, where the person's not going to see any candles altogether. They're not going to see any candles altogether, so then he says that maybe he has no choice but to light, because if you're not going to see the candles, it's one thing that if you see the candles, but you don't have to make a bracha because somebody's making the bracha for you at home. You're not even going to see the candles. I mean, how could he not see any candles? So therefore, he has to light the candles. Well, he's going to light the candles, so then he may as well make all the brachas. However, the Mishnah of the Sha'aretz Zion says, it's a very nice lumnisha explanation, and it explains everything. But when it comes to making a bracha, we're not satisfied with simply a nice and neat, very learned explanation. It has to be consistent with the way in which we fundamentally hold. We fundamentally hold that as long as somebody is lighting at home, wife is lighting at home, the husband is covered, it doesn't matter whether he's in a place where there are other people lighting, there are no other people lighting, he's covered by all the brachos of the wife. There's a separate question we'll get into a little bit. What if he decides on his own, I don't want to be yotzei with my wife? That it's so important to me to fulfill this mitzvah wherever I am, that I want to light separately and I want to make my own brachos and I don't want to be yotzei with my wife. So some say that he can do that, and some say no. That once I say that the essential focus of the mitzvah is the home, so just like I can say, oh, I don't want to be yotzei with the mezuzah that was put up in my doorpost, because the mezuzah is there, you're yotzei, you have fulfilled the obligation whether you like it or not. So too, if your wife lights the Hanukkah candles in your home, you have fulfilled the obligation whether you like it or you don't. That's the opinion of the Maharshal. And we generally are concerned that that maybe is the opinion that we should follow. All of these shitos and all of these opinions are going along the lines of the direction that the main central focal point of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah is the home. So if I'm not at home, I don't have a home, so there's no mitzvah if I don't have a home. If somebody's home, so then I fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety, as long as an important member of my household, like my wife, is lighting the Chanukah candles.
So
yes.
The husband sees somebody lighting at the beginning of the Shmah, and his wife is going to light but later, so he's seeing it before his wife.
It's excellent. So let's say that the husband figures out, I'm going to beat the system. I'm going to beat the system. I'm going to light the candles somewhere else, okay, prior to when my wife is going to be lighting. So therefore, he's not going to be yotze. He won't be automatically exempted to his wife because he'll chop the mitzvah somewhere else before his wife lights. So that, the Mishnah Berurah says, is a possible etza. That's a possible suggestion, a possible way in which he might be able to do it. But again, we haven't resolved the other issue, which is wherever he is, he had better be in some sort of a house. Now, if he's not in a house, you could say, maybe he'll make a bracha when he sees the candles, but that's a little bit difficult because, as we said, if somebody's going to be lighting in his house a little bit later, so maybe he really shouldn't be making that separate standalone blessing.
That's what I'm saying. Just the rope. You're someplace where somebody is lighting before your wife is out, and you're seeing the candles, and you may not see the candles later. Maybe not. So to catch the
Shosh
HaNisan, not the
light. Okay, so that's a question. That's a question. Now, yes.
Did I hear something? That the Rukhaim, like on his way home, he specifically did not look at candles in other places until he got home to light candles.
It sounds like a Rukhaim story. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, yeah.
According to all days, there's no requirement that the wife specifically intend to be motzi her husband.
No, it's generally assumed that unless we have reason to believe that she did not expect her husband to be relying upon her, it's generally assumed that she automatically has her husband in mind, just like it's assumed that her husband has his wife in mind. That's the idea of Ner Ishi Beso.
You have to have in mind,
meaning that it's an automatic abundance. It's assumed that if you're married, so that's a mindset that you have each other in mind that is just presumed throughout the duration of your marriage, unless there is some special circumstance to assume otherwise. That the husband and wife are always linked together. That's the idea. Beso Zuishto, as the Gemara says elsewhere, when we speak about a person's bias, that's his wife. They kind of go together.
The Chabad lighting ceremonies that are outdoors, is anyone yotze with that? Because it's not the
most probably not, because it's not related to a bias. In fact, when I was at, the shul has a special, separate minhag. Some ask the question, why is it, how can we make a bracha on what we light in shul? Some say because of the fact that we're also commemorating the lighting that took place, obviously, in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the shul is considered to be a mikdash. Me'ar is considered a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So it's a commemoration of the lighting in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So that, has some type of a basis. And there used to also be guests, some guests who would sleep over in the shul. It actually would be their bias. So that has a basis. But all the poskim say, havadul alo sifalah. We're not going to add to that. There's no basis, for example, lighting candles if you're having a gathering or a dinner or a party in some type of a social hall, in some type of a catering hall where nobody is living. So it's very difficult to justify that type of a lighting. You want a light without a bracha, so maybe you can justify it. Very difficult to justify with a bracha. So too, you're just lighting on the street and it's not connected to anybody's home. You can't really justify making a bracha. When I was the menahel at Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchak Yochanan, so there was a club there on campus that wanted to have a giant menorah in the middle of the street that they would light, and they asked me if I could endorse that, and I said, no, I can't endorse it, because this is the yeshiva of Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, who was, after all, the author of Halachic Man, which means that everything has to be done according to halakha. There is no significance or meaning to lighting a menorah if it's not going to be api halakha, if it's not going to have any halakhic import. To light a menorah in the home, the yeshiva above Soloveitchik, it's not going to have any halakhic import because it's not connected to a house, would sacrilegious on some level to the legacy of Rav Soloveitchik, and therefore I do not allow it.
There's no issue before we had telephones that you couldn't be sure your wife would light?
and that maybe if you were away, you should light just.
Yes, you could have maybe that notion if the if there was an adequate communication, but you can't really say that nowadays husbands and wives, even if they're thousands of miles away from each other, they're constantly in communication with each other. One question is, to what degree is a person covered by the lighting in their house, even if they're far away? Do we say that even if they are in a different country, even if they're in a different continent, even if they're in a different time zone, that they could still be yotzei? Let's say that the wife is lighting in New York and the husband is in Israel, or he's in a plane on the way to Israel. So do we say that if he's in a totally different time zone, he could still be covered by his wife's lighting? She's lighting at night, and for him it's already the morning.
Yeah, so
the Minchas Yitzchak, suggests that as long as it's the same day of Hanukkah, it happens that we are Kobeh, we establish that the mitzvah should be fulfilled during the nighttime, but even if it's still the same day, it just happens to be daytime, so husband can be Yotzei with, he can fulfill his obligation with the lighting of the candles by his wife, in New York, because it's the same day of Hanukkah. But let's say his home is in Israel, and his wife is lighting in Israel, and he's in New York. And let's say it was last week, when was the first night of Hanukkah, this week, just a few nights ago, was Sunday night, right? So let's say it's Sunday morning for him. It's not Hanukkah altogether. It's the 24th day of Kislev, and his wife is lighting in Eretz Yisrael. He's on, I don't know, a plane to New York, and his wife is lighting in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Hanukkah for her, but it's not yet Hanukkah for him. So Minchas Yitzchak said, well, then that for sure does not work. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, no, of course that works, because his home is in the right time zone, and the mitzvah is all about where his home is. So as long as the home is fulfilling the mitzvah through the wife lighting at home, so then he's Yotzei, even if that day of Hanukkah, even Hanukkah altogether, hasn't yet arrived for him, he still is Yotzei his mitzvah. That's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. This is the question of how far you carry this concept of Ner Ishu Beso.
The inmates,
that drizzling is also good.
Well, I mean, when I was at Fort Dix, to my knowledge, the married and the unmarried, they all wanted to like my menorah.
Yeah, well, that might be a different situation, because we speak about, you know, for in order for a home to be a person's home, it has to be a place where he's leaving temporarily, but he's going to go back there. So yes, it's true. Part of what connects him to his home is the fact that his wife is there, but if he's not going back there for a couple of years, for however long the sentence might be, so then it's not as clear that he would actually be covered in that type of a circumstance, because then we might say there's already a kfiyus, that this has already become his new home. This has already become his new place of residence. So that becomes a question mark. Yes.
The OU Halacha of the day mentioned that it's opposite if it's, I think it was today's, that it's opposite of that if it's the wife is away, the husband should wait.
Well, again, that's if the wife is, if the wife is away, let's say the husband is in New York, the wife is in Israel, so he can't really wait for her, and vice versa, you know, he's in Israel, so he's not going to be able to wait. What they're talking about is one of them comes home late at night. So if Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld famously said that if the wife is working really, really hard, and why is she working? She's working really hard so she can support her husband to learn in Kol or whatever. So, I mean, you know, you have to have a certain amount of appreciation to courage to talk. So the wife's going to come home. She's slaving away and working away, and she's going to come home 10 o'clock at night, and the husband's not going to wait for her, so that's going to be a real show and bias issue. And we know that if the Gemara says that if a person only has enough money either to afford the Hanukkah candle or the, if it's Friday night, or the Shabbos candle, so then the Shabbos candle takes precedence over the Hanukkah candle. Why is that? Because the Shabbos candle is there for Shalom Bayis, and Shalom Bayis takes precedence over the Hanukkah candle. So if he says, so in this situation as well, even though of course a person should ideally light on time, right at the beginning of nightfall, the first half hour, I should typically regular minashuk when there are still lots of people who are outside, nonetheless, if he still will fulfill the mitzvah, if he lights later on, especially nowadays when the main pesumei nisa is for the people of the home who are on the inside, so therefore, even though it would be preferable to light earlier, he should wait until his wife comes home, even though it's late at night, because the Shalom Bayis consideration trumps the consideration of lighting the Neiros Chanukah in the optimal possible fashion. So yes, that's true in this direction. But we say if it's the husband coming home late, so what's the Shlemiel coming home so late for? You know, he should be there. He knows what the mitzvah is. He's supposed to be there on time. So he's going to make his wife wait? He'll make the wife wait. So let the wife light on time, and then when he comes home, he'll come home. So it's actually said in Dafka, that direction of the husband waiting for the wife to come home. Yes, 100%. Now, why is it that the Hanukkah candles would be so home-centric. What's so special about the home? So I saw this tremendous explanation by Rabbi J. David Blight. Rabbi J. David Blight quotes a tshuva of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a tshuva called Igeres Kiddush Hashem, and he was talking about how much Jews have sacrificed themselves over the years, and how much Mesivas Nefesh has been expressed by Jews throughout the centuries in order to fulfill mitzvos, even a penalty of death. And one example that the Rambam gives, the Rambam talks about what happened during the days of the Chashmonaim. He says, V'yaduahu, everybody knows this. Nobody knew this except for the Rambam, of course. But the Rambam says, V'yaduahu, that everybody knows. What happened during the evil Greek kingdom, Assyrian Greek kingdom? We all know the evil thing that happened. What was it that happened? We know what happened. That they wouldn't let us observe the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, Bris Milah, Shabbos. You know, we know the, all the various, you know, things that we've learned. But he writes, Mzeus Kashas for us, that there were terrible decrees that were imposed upon the Jewish people. And among them were, they wouldn't allow anybody to close the door of their house. That was it. That's what it was. They would not allow people to close the door of their house. So that people would not be able to secretly or privately fulfill any mitzvahs. This way the Greeks would be able to look in and see to it that nobody was performing clandestinely any mitzvahs and put a stop to it if anybody would try to do anything of the sort. So they'd be able to look straight through the doors. So explains Rabbi Blaich, this is why the rabbis instituted that when we prevailed over the Chashmonaim, we were able to practice our religion again, that the way that we would celebrate through the lighting of the Hanukkah candles would specifically be in our homes, because it was our homes that they targeted, and therefore we celebrate by virtue of lighting the candles in our homes to show now we're able to perform mitzvahs in our homes again. Our homes are able to be suffused again with Torah mitzvahs. So that's the idea of making the central focus of the mitzvah of Hanukkah on the home and the mitzvahs that were the Hadlaka's name was Hanukkah in the home itself. But, as I said, there is another side to the story. As we reach the 30-minute mark, I should probably start mentioning the other side of the story. The other side of the story is that the Gemara also says that even if somebody is traveling, they are actually still obligated in lighting Hanukkah candles. And where is that Gemara? That's source base. We've gotten really far. Source number two. So Amar Rav Sheshi, so Sheshi says, Aksanai.
How is the requirement of Hanukkah candles instituted before the conquering of the Greeks?
No, when they conquered the Greeks, so that's when the mitzvah was instituted.
Right, but why would they come in to look for candles if they hadn't been conquered yet?
I don't understand. No, they weren't looking for the candles. They were looking for any performance of mitzvah. They were looking just to make sure that they weren't learning Torah, and making sure that they weren't, observing Shabbos. Right, exactly. Okay. So, take a look at source number two. Amar Sheshis, Aksanai Chayav B'Neil Chanukah. A guest or a visitor is obligated in the mitzvah of Neil Chanukah. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira tells an interesting story. He says, Mereshki Avina Be'Rabbi Shetavtem Piti V'Hadi Yishbiza. When I was a bachur, I wasn't married yet, and I would be staying in my rabbi's house, so it wasn't really my house, so I would contribute something, some money, like a pruta, a penny, towards the purchase of the Hanukkah candles. And that way, he would be included in the home of his host. He wouldn't light his own candles, but he would be included in the lighting of the candles that took place at his host's home. So, Basin the Nesivi Yisisa, after I got married, Amina, I said, oh, now I'm covered. Hashtabai Lord Tzavikle, even if I'm out learning somewhere, I'm staying in my rabbi's house for a few days, doesn't matter. I'm covered by my wife. That was the story. Rabbi Zeira said, once he got married, he's covered by his wife. But what about before he was married and he wasn't at home? He didn't have a home. Presumably, he didn't have parents who were lighting for him, whatever the story was. So then he said, so once I was a guest, I was obligated to somehow join together with my host, so I would be covered by their candle lighting. So what do we see from here? We see that a visitor, a guest who's not at home, can still be chayav, can still be obligated. And we also see that the bias that a person's home can cover individuals who are not necessarily residents of the home, but are just visitors who are passing through the home. So if you take a look at the Rosh, source 7, so the Rosh says, Amar Sheshis, Aksanai Chayav B'Neil Chanukah, Ve'enu Yosef B'Neil Shabbal Abayis, Lo'avi B'Klal Ish V'Ishtov. So Sheshis says he's not exempted through the lighting of the Baal HaBayis if he would not contribute to the candles, because he's not included in the house. The Rosh actually says he's not included in the husband and wife unit. Now, Ishto says the Vilna Gaon is a typo. It shouldn't say Ish v'Ishto, it should say Ish uveso, right? But it's like a Freudian slip on some level. Because Ish v'Ishto means, what is Ish uveso? What really defines the home is the fact that you have a spouse at home. That's the strongest connection a person might have to his home, is that his wife is at home, or for a woman that her husband is at home. Some of the, there are even certain opinions that say that a husband can only fulfill the obligation when he's not at home by the wife lighting. Not even an older child lighting is good enough. The Chovas Hadar brings such an opinion. We don't generally assume that way. We assume it could even be, you know, a child, a son, a daughter that can light on their behalf. But we see that's a very, very strong part of the connection. But what do we see from the Rosh? We see that according to the Rosh, the Aksanai, this guest, if he did not contribute, would not fulfill his obligation simply through the lighting of the Baal Bais. Why is that? Because it's not his home. According to the Rosh, you have to make it into your home. So what's accomplished when he contributes some money? If you think about it, what is he purchasing through that money? Is he purchasing the oil for the candles? That's what's generally assumed. But Halakha says that you can't purchase any movable object like oil other than real estate. You can't purchase that with money alone. You have to do like a kinyan meshicha. You have to like pick it up, or a kinyan hagbah. You got to pick it up. You got to pull it towards you. So what's this idea that just kesef alone is going to work? So some of the poskim explain that the idea of paying kesef is that kesef, money, can acquire real estate. So what he's really doing is he's acquiring a portion of the house. He's making this into his house by acquiring a portion of the house. And that might be what's going on according to the Rosh. How does the Ran learn this? Take a look. It's the Ran, source 6. Oreach, Ababisha'en lo bias, a visitor, even though he doesn't have a house, he contributes. Delo tema, don't say, din de'el Chanukah, k'din mezuzah. Don't say that the mitzvah of Neil Chanukah is like the mitzvah of mezuzah, that it's only incumbent upon the house. The Kol Misha'en lo bias, part of the mezuzah, because as we know, you don't have a house, you're exempt from the mitzvah of mezuzah. What does it sound like according to the Rosh? According to the Rosh, it sounds like, you know, this house idea is a nice thing, but it's not necessarily indispensable. It's not necessarily indispensable. Even if a person doesn't have a bias, they're still going to be obligated on some level. And that's why the person contributes. So they contribute towards buying the Neiros Chanukah. And maybe, even if they didn't contribute, if they just lit on their own, that would also be okay, according to the Ran. Right? That's a possibility. If you take a look at the very last page, source Chav Dali, the Pnei Yoshua also discusses this issue. He says, near this mitzvah is different a little bit from most of the other mitzvahs that are a mitzvah which are chovas haguf, which are incumbent upon the individual. So why is this mitzvah tied in with the house? So take a look at the Pnei Yoshua, the end of the second line. Ela d'shayni acha she'ein acha ikra mitzvah lebesalcha shus rabim. The main mitzvah is to light on the door, doorway near the public thoroughfare. Shumishum persumenisa, because this mitzvah is all about advertising the miracle. Mishum kachi tilu chovas mitzvah zo kiilu hi chovas habayis. So therefore, Chazal instituted this mitzvah kiilu as if it is a mitzvah upon the house in order to accentuate and to highlight the Pirsume Nisa, right? So the Rosh sounds, so the Pnei Yoshua sounds like he's saying it's a little bit of both. It's really a Chovas Gabra. It really is an obligation on the person, but we tie it into the house in order to increase the amount of Pirsume Nisa. So I ask you the question, let's say you're not able to fulfill the optimal amount of Pirsume Nisa. You're still obligated in Neir Chanukah, but Moshe Feinstein talks about the following situation. A person comes home really, really late from work or from like a yeshiva dinner, whatever it is, and they walk in, it's 2 in the morning, and everybody in the house is sleeping. So there's no Pirsume Nisa in terms of lighting for the people outside because everyone has gone to sleep on the outside. There's no Pirsume Nisa for the people on the inside because everybody is fast asleep on the inside. So some folks can say, well, you have to wake them up. You've got to wake them up in order to, you know, make the Pirsume Nisa. Now, everyone is going to appreciate that Pirsume Nisa. It's not going to, like, leave them with good warm memories of the miracle. So the Moshe Feinstein says, you don't have to wake anybody up. And you can fulfill the mitzvah even without Pirsume Nisa. Pirsume Nisa is like a hiddur, he says. That makes it even better, like on Purim. Pirsume Nisa, we lay in the Megillah. So it's Pirsume Nisa to make sure you have a minion. Let's say you don't have a minion. And there's no minion around, then you lay in the Megillah to yourself. But you fulfill the mitzvah, you still fulfill the mitzvah. So he says you still don't fulfill the mitzvah. So if the whole idea of the house is just that we want to highlight the Pirsume Nisa, but really fundamentally it's a Chovas Gabra, really it's a mitzvah upon each person. So then you can make the argument that even if a person doesn't have a house at all, law, they would still be obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. If they happen to be with somebody else's house, so fine. So that house is controlling and they have to contribute, you know, towards that person's lighting. But if there's no house altogether, so maybe they should still light. So who says this? So the Tzitz Eliezer, we look at source 22. So Tzitz Eliezer has a whole arichah. He won't go into his entire dissertation, but if you turn over to page 4, the last half of the Tzitz Eliezer, Tzitz Eliezer talks about this, and he says that he thinks that really the mitzvah is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon the individual. And in the event that there would not be a bias, in the event that a person would not have a house, says the Tzitz Eliezer, let's say a person is out there sleeping on a park bench or something like that, or he speaks about soldiers who are out in the field, they're out in the open field, they're in little trenches, they're not in a house per se, says the Tzitz Eliezer, he thinks they are 100% obligated to light the Chanukah candle, and they would even light with a bracha. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. It's the most incredible thing, because we don't usually assume that way, but that's the opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer. And some actually interpret, or they reinterpret Rashi along these lines. What did Rashi say? Rashi said, so who is it that, you know, can't light the candle, they have to just make a buck on seeing a candle, shasanisim, a person who's in a spina, right? They're in a boat. So we assume it's because a boat is not a bias, so therefore the person is exempt. So Tzitz Eliezer says, and the others, Binyamin Zilber says the same thing. He says, that's not what Rashi meant. Rashi meant you're in a boat, you're in a canoe, so you're not going to be able to light a candle because it's going to be heavy gusts of wind wherever you are, and the candle's just not going to last. That's why you can't light a candle. For practical reasons, you can't light a candle. If you were in a type of boat where there was a very nice compartment and you could light, and the candle would be able to last, so then of course you would have an obligation to light. Or maybe the person who's in the boat, we assume he doesn't have a candle. But if the person really had a candle, so then they would be obligated to light. So that's how we reinterprets this. So says Moshe Feinstein, that's ridiculous. Moshe Feinstein says Rashi was very good at expressing himself clearly, and therefore if Rashi meant to say that the reason why the person doesn't light the candle is because he doesn't have a candle, then Rashi would have said the person doesn't have a candle. But that's not what Rashi said. Rashi said the person's in a boat. That means that Rashi's of the opinion that even if you have a candle, if you're in a boat, you're in a little flimsy canoe, so you don't have a mitzvah of lighting Neilas Chanukah because it requires a bias. So not only does Moshe Feinstein say this, but Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says this, or Tzvi Pesach Frank say this, they all say you need a bias. You need a house. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talks about, okay, so assuming that you need a house in order to fulfill the mitzvah, so what qualifies as a house? Let's say you don't have like the normal dimensions of a big house. It's only like a little space. Let's say you have a soldier who is not out in the trenches, or they're not out in the open field, but they're in a tank. And a tank has dimensions, that it's maybe 10 tefachim high, maybe it's 7 by 7 tefachim wide, that maybe would be good enough for a sukkah. So he says that just like a sukkah, you don't need a fancy schmancy house, you could have like a tiny little house that only has to last for 8 days or 7 days. So Chanukah is also only temporary, it's only 8 days, so you can have like a flimsy little house. So if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thinks that even if it is a flimsy house, you can still be obligated in the mitzvah of Neilas Chanukah, and he says that soldiers who are out in a tank, they're obligated to light Neilas Chanukah with a bracha. Which leads to the question, so what about if a person's on a train? A person is traveling on a train, so do they have an obligation to light Neilas Chanukah? So the person who dealt with this issue is the Maharsham. Look at source 21 on page number 3. Maharsham dealt with a person traveling on a train, it's called a bon. I don't know how to pronounce this. Rakevet, it's a train. So he says, are you allowed to light and fulfill your mitzvah lighting Neilas Chanukah on a train? Let's say that the person does not have a wife at home to light for him. But Matzasi, I'm assuming we're dealing with a man who's traveling, could be the other way around too, and only three sexes. Matzasi, a dumb mavur. But the Maharsham says, if the person has paid for their compartment in the train for the entire night, so it's like they're renting a house. If a person's renting a house, the Maharsham seems to be indicating something very interesting. That's not even an aksanai. Aksanai is a guest that's not his house. So we can understand that maybe he can't fulfill the mitzvah unless he contributes towards the host in Neilas Chanukah. And according to some opinions, he couldn't even, if he wanted to, light on his own, because it's not his house. So, you know, there are some, the Mishnah Berurah recommends, this is source 17, Mishnah Berurah recommends that the best thing is he should hear the brachas from the Baal HaBayis when the Baal HaBayis lights. If he wants to light his own candles, he'll answer amen to the host brachas and not make his own bracha, and then just light on his own. And in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah, he should try to do it at a time when his wife has not yet lit the candles, because otherwise, according to the Maharshal, he automatically fulfilled the obligation anyway when the wife lit the candles, whether he likes it or not. So that's the only way, that's like the best way to finesse, being able to incorporate all the different opinions and the concerns. So back to the Maharsham. So Maharsham says, person is paying for the train, he's in the train. He says, even though the train is moving, and it's not like a regular bais, he says, two lines in the bottom, Lonimsum Shumakam Shiatsarat Bais Kavua. We don't find that we need a bais kavua. You don't need a permanent house. The Maharsham Mitzvah Bishop Besume Nisa, the home is just Besume Nisa, this is good enough, and the person can light in the train. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, okay, so what about a plane? The person leaves their house early in the middle of the afternoon before it's time to light the Hanukkah candles, and they're not going to arrive at their destination until it's already past the time of lighting Hanukkah candles. So should they light Hanukkah candles in a plane? So my Rebbe Rav Mordechai Willard says, what are you talking about? A plane's not a house. The Maharsham was talking about where you had like your own separate compartment in a train, and you had privacy, and it was relaxing, and sleeping quarters and everything. You don't have sleeping quarters in a plane. Have you been in a plane recently? I mean, you could barely like breathe in a plane. You know, the way that they stuff you in like sardines nowadays. So you don't have like your own compartment. Maybe if you're, you know, on Air Force One, and you know, you're like Jared Kushner or something. So maybe if you're taking that type of a plane where you have your own private quarters, and it's kind of, you know, more luxurious, so you can make an argument that's like the Maharsham's case. But for most of us in the planes, trains, and automobiles, it's not going to be shy to call this your house. So many poskim say there's nothing to discuss, besides the fact that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach deals with a different issue. He says, according to him, a plane actually could be your home for that period of time. He says, how long are you going to be on the plane? In the train, people would spend like more than 24 hours. In the plane, you're usually not going to be in a plane more than 5, 10, you know, 11 hours. You're not going to, maybe if you're traveling, you know, to Hong Kong, it'll be a little longer, but, you know, usually it's not going to be, you know, so long. Plus, he's not entirely sure that a plane really qualifies as a special, as a place of tefillah, a place where, you know, you could really call it your home. So he says, light in the plane without a bracha. But what are you going to light? You light a candle in the plane, they're going to arrest you. So he, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, is of the opinion that you could actually use a flashlight, because he actually knows that a flashlight is good enough. Remember, you need, if it has a filament, so it kind of is, it has like some sort of a fire in it, and you have to have enough fuel to last for half an hour. But if you have a battery there with enough, you know, battery fuel in it, that you know that it's going to last a half an hour, and you set up the flashlight in a place where it's going to remain, so it's halakos and mitzvah, you set it up beforehand. So he thinks you could actually maybe be yosei with a flashlight. So he says, do two things. Light the flashlight in the plane, and also appoint somebody else to light in your house. If it's your wife, so then you fulfill the mitzvah. But let's say your wife is with you in the plane. So he says, have somebody else at home take care of lighting as well, and this way you'll be covered no matter what. But according to other poskim, no, a plane is just not a bias at all. If you don't have anybody at home to light, so then you're not going to be yotze. But what about this other idea that he said of appointing a shliach? Does that make sense that you could potentially appoint a shliach? So that's a little bit of a question as well, because if you think about it, there is no place in the Gemara where it says that Halakha's name is Chanukah can actually be performed by a shliach, by an agent. We should sort of assume that you appoint somebody who's not a member of your household to light at home, so that's perfectly fine. But Rabbi Bleich says, why? Why would that be perfectly fine? The idea is that it's a mitzvah incumbent upon your house. So if I have a new house, so fine, I can light within that new house. But if nobody is home from my household, so what makes it into a house? What makes it into a house is that I'm home, my wife is home, my children are home. If nobody's home, so then there's no connection there making it into a house. And he says, if you take a look, the only one who talks about having a shliach, having an agent, is the Shiltei HaGibarim. Take a look at Shiltei HaGibarim, source 8. Shiltei HaGibarim says as follows. Shiltei HaGibarim says, this is source 8. Adam shehidlik neir Chanukah yakol lahadlik beisha. A man who has already lit neir Chanukah, he can serve as a shliach in order to light candles for a woman. Now it doesn't say liishto; it means for a woman, meaning like some woman who's not able to light on her own. The man lights for her. He sounds like a shliach. Ulevarik yigon shomedes etzla b'shasa bracha, and he can even make the bracha as long as she's standing next to him. Rabbi Yenacher nira l'marak shein levarik, but otherwise no bracha. So The question is, what's going on over here? Why does she have to be standing next to him when he's lighting the candle? If I have a shliach put up a mezuzah for me, I don't have to be there when the mezuzah is being put up in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, right? So why does, when somebody, I have a shliach lighting Hanukkah candles, why do I have to be standing right next to the shliach? So some say, the reason you have to stand right next to the shliach is because otherwise you're not going to see the candles, and you might fulfill the mitzvah of lahadlik ne'er, but you won't fulfill the mitzvah of she'asa nisim. That whole discussion that we had before between the Mordechai and the Rosh. But the Tzitz Eliezer says, and Rabbi Bleich actually in his essay says something very similar. They say that, no, you know why the Shilta Yagibarim said it this way? He said it this way, and there's a Bach that comments on this, and it's born in the Mishnah Berurah. He said it this way because otherwise, if you're not there, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. The only way you can fulfill the way Tzitz Eliezer says is that the only way you fulfill the mitzvah, it's like putting on tefillin. That you can have somebody put the tefillin on your arm if you're standing there, but if somebody puts the tefillin on their arm, you're not going to be able to say the mitzvah. So here's your house. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah in the house, it has to be lit by somebody who lives in the house. If somebody else is lighting it, so they can only light it if they're effectively like putting the candle on, you know, like they're laying the tefillin on your arm. If they're lighting the candle and you're there, okay, fine. So then you have a connection to the house. But otherwise not. So I've spoken to some postgame
about
the opinion that...
But the machlok.
So Rabbi Black says that even if it's Chovas Bayis, even if you say that it's Chovas Bayis, you need somebody who's connected to the Bayis to be in the house. And a shliach would not be good. So therefore, not everybody assumes that this is going to work with a shliach. So that idea, just to point the shliach, is not necessarily a foolproof idea if you're actually not going to be in your home. On the other hand, you also have this other consideration, which is that if you are leaving on let's say, have a meal somewhere, and you're going to, you know, leave your house, say, right after candle lighting time, and you're going to come home really, really late at night, and you don't want to first light the candles necessarily at 2 in the morning, and you want to do it during a time in which you'll have more pesumei nisa, people are going to, you know, see it. So what are your etzos? Like, what are your, somebody, a rav just asked me this question, they're having like a Friday night suda in the shul. And the people, you know, in his community wanted to know when should they light the candles. They're not going to be able to light the candles at 2 in the morning because it's Friday night, it's Shabbos. That would be a really, really bad idea. So should they light the candles before, you know, they're going to light the candles right before Shabbos, but then they're going to go to shul and they're not even going to see the candles. Plus, according to all the Hatzalah alerts, that might be really dangerous. You're going to have 10 Chanukiyos all, you know, ablaze, and they'll be, you know, sitting in a shul social hall somewhere while the fire department is, you know, going through the streets trying to put out, you know, a major fire. So what do you do in that type of situation? So he said, could they just light, you know, in the shul? But the shul's not a bias. Shul's not a bias. I mean, certainly, you know, there's halakas neiros, you know, but you can't be yotze the halakas neiros of a shul unless you're actually talking about the orkim who are going to be sleeping there. So this is a very interesting question. So let's say in general that you're not going to be staying somewhere overnight. You're just going to be eating there. So if a person has two homes, they have a place where they sleep and they have a place where they eat. So we say that this is a discussion, but the Rama says nowadays that the focus is on lighting inside. It used to be that you'd have to worry about kshad, that the people would be suspicious if they knew that you slept somewhere and they don't see Hanukkah candles outside the door of where you sleep, also maybe you haven't lit Hanukkah candles. But now that the main lighting is on the inside, we're not worried about kshad anymore. We're not worried about, you know, people being suspicious of you. So the Rama says that in general, if a person has two different places, one where they eat, one where they sleep, the main place of their residence is where they eat. Main place is where they eat. That's what he says. So therefore, normally a person would light there. If a person lives in one house and they eat in one room and they sleep in another room, you can light anywhere you want. That's one house. It's talking about if a person has two houses. But, you know, Ramosha writes that if you have, let's say, it's boys who live in a yeshiva and they sleep in one room and they eat in the dining hall, so he says, so there they would light where they sleep. Why? It's two different places. Why don't you light where you eat? So he says, because there's more of a kfias and there's more of an ownership and there's more of a singularity with respect to the place where they sleep, because that's their special room where they sleep, but where they eat, they're eating like 100 other people. So it has to be like a place where they have like their own special space. So where they sleep is going to be their own special space. So maybe during Hanukkah they should also make sure to eat at least one meal there a day or two meals there a day. You know, the post can talk about, but you know, it has to be your own special space. So can you create special space over the course of Hanukkah? So the Pre-Kaddish talks about this. He says, let's say I go away to my in-laws. I go away for 8 days of Hanukkah. The rest of the time I have, you know, one house. But now I'm going away for 8 days of Hanukkah. So he says, that's a kfias. So that is accomplishing that this is your bias for those 8 days. This is your bias. This is your special home for those 8 days. So therefore, during those 8 days, this is your bias. I don't have to worry about my bias back where I was. That's not my bias. I'm not connected to that bias for these 8 days. I'm connected to this house. That, and then I can light candles. Not only can I light candles there, I can't even be yotze. I can't even fulfill my obligation with the candles that are lit by the host. Because I'm not a guest, I'm not an aksanya. Once I establish this kfias, okay, that's what this is a term that the Mishnah Berurah uses, that the post can talk about, it's a term called kfias. I establish like a special permanence. It can be a temporary permanence, if that's sort of like an oxymoron, but you know, a permanence for the period of time of Hanukkah, and then that becomes my home during that period. So later post can say, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they say, the pre-Kaddish spoke about 8 days, but it can even be for one day. Like, I go away for Shabbos. I go away for Shabbos, I go away to my relatives, I go away to my parents, my in-laws, I have my own special room, I have my own special, this is a chashivas, I'm not just a yeshiva bacher that happens to be passing through, but this is a place where I'm invited, I'm wanted, or it's a hotel where I'm paying money to be there. So in any of those situations where I have some sort of a semi-ownership, or I have a place of chashivas, of importance, even if it's for just one day over the course of Hanukkah, so of course I can light Hanukkah candles. Let's say I stay over somewhere for Shabbos, so I can light Friday night, no problem, meaning Friday afternoon before Shabbos. I'm going to leave Motzei Shabbos. So do I have to wait till I get home? Unless I'm going to get home at 3 in the morning. Or can I light the candles where I was for Shabbos at the beginning of Motzei Shabbos? So that's a machlokas. Some say that you can, and some say that you can't. Some say you can if you continue, because after all, you had a kvias at the beginning of the day through Shabbos. So maybe that kvias is carried over to Motzei Shabbos. So some say, okay, so you know, maybe just to be on the... Moshe Zalman Auerbach says that you can light Motzei Shabbos, even though you're not staying over, but some say, okay, have a Malava Malka, you know, to stay a little longer. So comes along, and this is like the biggest Kiddush. This is, I'm not endorsing this, per se. Don't get the wrong idea. It's just that I promised that I would have a Kiddush, so, you know, here's a Kiddush. So, Rav Avraham David Horowitz, he's a Rav from Strasbourg, and then I think he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He's known as the Strasbourg Rav. He lived from like 1911 to 2004. I looked up his biography a little bit. Rav Avraham David Horowitz. So he wrote a sefer called Kinyan Torah. And he talks about this situation. He says, you know, if you look in the you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah is very, very strong. He says, if I'm just going to eat by somebody's house, be cry. This is source 20. I'm going to miss your soy, it's a chaver, be cry. Yesha Shabbayas, and he has a, and that person, and he, and the guest has a house in the same city, so you can't light the candles by the person who's hosting you, because you have to light the candles where you live, okay? And if you're not going to be able to, you don't want to go back home because you're having such a good time, so fine, so have your wife light for you, okay? Okay, but it's better if you go back home and you light on your own rather than relying upon your wife, because Mitzvah Bo Yotim Mishlucho. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So everybody says that. Whatever we talk about, a kfias, you could stay over for 8 days, you could stay over for one day, but you're just going to, this isn't going to be your makam shay, you're not going to even sleep there for one night, you're just going to have a meal in somebody's home, and your bias is in the same, you know, city, so how could you possibly rely upon that to light candles in that person's home? So take a look at the Kinyan Torah. So Kinyan Torah says that, I read that same halacha that you did. He says, that's talking about a case where you're eating out, but your wife is at home. But let's say everybody, the person is going with all of their family members to their parents, whomever else lives in, you know, in town that they're, you know, eating by them. So there's no proof about that case. The pre-Kaddish spoke about somebody goes away for 8 days and you create your own special space. He says, just like we said, it doesn't have to be 8 days. It could be one day. Wait a second. It could be a few hours. Wait a second. We're down to one day. I'm going to go down further. I'm going to push the envelope a little bit further. Even if you go out for a few hours, that's your bias, those few hours. And because you don't need like a special, what kind of kfias do you need? And he brings a raya, brings a proof from whom? From none other than our good friend, the Maharsham. Shalom Shwadun. The Indian Hadakas Neves Chanukah Labon. He says you can light Neves Chanukah on the train. You paid for the night, you paid for, you know, your time in the train, so that becomes your home for that period of time. You are there with your entire household. So therefore, he wants to be makel even in this situation where it's not going to be feasible to light where you are because you'll leave and you can't leave the candles burning, whatever it is. So he says, so he's okay with lighting now. All this means is that if a rabbi will pass this way, he's not guilty of rabbinic malpractice. But to the best of my knowledge, most poskim don't rely upon this particular opinion, but it's something to throw into the mix when we understand this concept of bias and what bias is all about, that you don't need the same type of kfiyas, you don't need the same type of permanence that, you know, might be applicable the rest of the year. So anyway, I just want everyone to recognize this notion of Hanukkah being about, on the one hand, uplifting ourselves, but also uplifting our homes. That our homes are extremely central to the sanctity and to the importance of the Hanukkah message. That we should uplift our homes in terms of suffusing our homes with Torah mitzvos, and that now that we have the opportunity to be able to fulfill mitzvos, to be able to light those beautiful spiritual candles in our own homes and raise our religious level of observance, that we do so, that we take advantage of this tremendous miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, that we're able to live our lives according to our religious principles, and we should have a Liktika Chanukah, we should have a Frelichin Chanukah, we should build our homes with Torah and mitzvos, not only during Chanukah, but during the entire year, and we should have a Chanukah in which our Shalom Bayis also is raised and reigns supreme.
Amen. Amen. The question of eating or sleeping is COVID. So then on the airplane, I don't have a bed. Obviously, I don't have a bed.
Yes.
But I'm eating normally.
Right.
So in other words, maybe from the point of view of eating, it's a...
I don't know about you. I don't eat so normally on the plane.
No. I'm eating with the tray.
Why is your favorite that they have neurons?
Yeah.
Huh? It's all in
JFK.
They have menorahs
there. In where?
In the airport.
The airport. It doesn't. Look, they have menorahs in all public places. You know, they just have like electric menorahs, like they have Christmas trees. You know, that's like for holiday decorations.
No, small ones.
Oh. Yeah, but it doesn't really make sense because certainly whatever kfiyas you have, you're not going to have a kfiyas in the gate. You know, that for sure not.
No, I'm at the airport.
Even the King and Tower would say that you can't fulfill your obligation by lighting candles at the gate.
Right. That's.
I thought most shivas do.
Cafeteria, you could say. Those are it's not feasible to light in your in the place where you sleep because they're not going to let you.
Right.
So then everyone says, but the Evid, so you can light in the place that you eat because that's also a place where you have a regular connection because you're eating there every single day. So you could certainly say that's the place where you have a connection.
But
if you add your druthers, it would be better to find the Makom Miyuchad, the place where you have a more private space.
More opportunities.